Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Friday, March the 27th. Coming up, why a grieving dad is locked in a planning battle with a council, and Gillingham's owners say they're in it for the long run, despite admitting expensive mistakes. But first up today, a driver claims his life has been ruined after getting a ban for speeding on the A20 in North Kent when the limit was changed. This is a story we've mentioned on the podcast before. A temporary limit was brought in between Crittles Corner and the Swanley Interchange back in October 2023. Well, Thomas Wood lost his job after getting 9 fines and a 6-month suspension. Our reporter Alex Langridge has been following this story for some time for us and joins me now. Alex, thank you ever so much for being on the podcast. So Thomas has complained of deeply unfair and life-altering penalties. Can you just talk us through why he and other drivers have been fined?
Yeah, so back in October 2023, Transport for London imposed some temporary speed restrictions on part of the road between Crittles Corner roundabout in Sidcup and the Swanley services. The road was dropped from a 70 mile per hour and a 50 mile per hour to 40 miles per hour. It was introduced along the Kentbound carriageway as an emergency due to safety concerns over surface water flooding, which had seen many vehicles aquaplane and crash into the BP garage. The speed limit was reinstated back to 70 miles per hour last year following permanent drainage works to the road. However, while the temporary limit was in place, it's understood more than 60,000 notices of intended prosecution were issued to motorists for speeding along that stretch by the Metropolitan Police.
But there have been complaints the new limit wasn't signposted clearly enough.
Many have argued that they were unaware the speed restrictions had changed and claimed there was inadequate and small signs. Many said that they were kind of the size of dish plates and you couldn't see them if you were, say, driving alongside a large van. Others have also pointed to conflicting signs, as there was at least one 50 mile per hour marker still up along the road by January 24th last year. It's thought that that incorrect sign, which was on the approach to the BP garage, was placed by a third party, and the Met Police have previously confirmed it was investigating it as an attempt to pervert the course of justice. However, no culprit was ever found and the case was then closed.
And what are the impacts that Thomas says this has had on his life? And Alex, what's the response been from police?
Thomas has said that the impacts of having the fines and the 6-month driving ban have basically ruined his life. He was driving along the road and was a victim of the 50 mile per hour sign. He sped up, but technically, although he was driving underneath the 50 mile per hour, he was speeding, as it was in fact a 40 mile per hour. He said he was shell-shocked because he received fine after fine in the post for about a week. He drives for a living. He was a transport manager for a butcher's in Swanley, and he said he just knew his career was finished as soon as he got that driving ban. He was forced to step down from his manager job, but without experience in other fields, he didn't then struggle to find work. He said he'd go to interviews, but because his CV was mainly driving jobs, he couldn't apply for them. And he believes that some employers kind of tarred him with a brush as a stereotype, thinking he'd done something wrong. He was untrustworthy, which was the opposite of his character. Many drivers have been calling for the fines to be revoked for the last year, but the Met Police has insisted it would not be cancelling them and any appeals would have to be challenged in court. They previously said its prosecution team, which deals with speeding offences, had taken legal advice in regards to the wrongly erected 50 mile per hour sign. They said it would not have impacted the enforcement of the 40 mile per hour average speed limit. They claimed if someone had travelled at 40 miles per hour, then sped up to 50 miles per hour after seeing the removed sign, their average speed of the section covered by the speed cameras would not have resulted in a ticket. However, many drivers, including Thomas, have disputed that and have cited their own fines as evidence that this is not the case.
Alex, thank you ever so much. Perhaps you've been caught up in this as well. You can tell us your story by emailing news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
A man's died in hospital a month after a serious crash on the A249. Two cars were involved in the collision on the northbound carriageway between the M20 and M2 junctions on February the 25th. Adam Phil had been a passenger in one of the vehicles. The 34-year-old's been described as selfless and one of a kind. Follow Kent Online on socials to see a picture of a man police are hunting after another man was hit with a beer glass at a pub in Maidstone. It happened at the Brenchley on the High Street back in January. leaving the victim with cuts and bruises. A drug dealer who tried to flush cocaine down a toilet to avoid being arrested in Chatham has been jailed. Benjamin Newton Alfred ran to a property in Fort Pitt Street after being spotted by officers last December. You can watch the moment he was caught on the website. The 37-year-old from Orpington was found to have cash, a knife and mobile phone. He's been locked up for 5.5 years. Now, next today, a former gang member's told Kent Online a ban on ninja swords should have come into force much sooner. From August, it'll be illegal to own or sell the weapons. New legislation has been introduced in Parliament following a campaign by the family of a murdered teenager. Well, I've been speaking to Lennox Rogers, who runs Refocus in Dartford.
There's so many different ways people who would want to use those types of knives could access them, and a lot of the gangs would want to, and other young people who are living in fear, because people carry knives because of the fear, are going to try and access them. I think they feel that the longer the weapon, the more protection that it will guarantee them. But there's a massive element of harm. It's quite fatal to be using those weapons. You get stabbed with one of those, it's going to kill. But I think it's very difficult for the police to keep tabs on. You're adding a huge workload to the police. I mean, obviously they're going to try and police it anyway, but it's very difficult with the amount of young people that feel unsafe to walk the streets, and some adults who have these types of weapons in the boot of their car. You know, it's very difficult. People are going to always be trying to find new ways, different weapons to, you know, protect themselves, because they're so scared.
It's so sad, isn't it, that they're feeling that afraid? I mean, particularly presumably at night when they're going around, or can it be during the day as well?
Yes, both day and night. But you see, young people especially are getting into fights and using weapons and over pettiness. And I think that's the issue. There's so much pettiness, and they don't know other ways of conflict resolution. And I think we need to have more people with lived experiences in schools to deliver that kind of education. You know, the lived experiences will show the consequences of how that has affected them. This is what my charity does. We go into schools and do that, but not enough schools these days are opening their doors to have that kind of education. I think it should be on the curriculum. I think there's so many more services out there today that are trying to fight against knife crime amongst young people especially, and I think they need to be allowed into schools a lot more, and certainly the prisons, for them to show where you could end up if you make wrong choices.
Kent Online reports.
A road's been closed and a search is underway for a driver following a hit and run near Ashford. Police were called to White Hill between Wye and Chollock yesterday morning. A man who was walking in the area was taken to hospital. Police want to speak to two teenage boys after bales of hay went up in flames and a caravan was trashed near Ashford. The blaze on land in Wye took 6 days to burn out earlier this month. Officers have spotted suspects on nearby CCTV. A man's due in court after cash was allegedly stolen from the till of a shop near Gillingham. Threats were also reportedly made when it happened in Twiddle Green last Friday night. A 42-year-old from Chatham was arrested the following day. Now, a grieving dad who's converting a building in Folkestone town centre has become locked in a battle with the council over an illuminated sign of his late son. William Brown Sr. is turning Queen's House on the corner of Guildhall Street into 32 homes. He's renamed it Master William's Place in memory of his seven-year-old, who died after being hit by a van in December 2023. Since being given planning permission, he submitted new proposals for an illuminated sign of the name and a picture of William Jr. But the council has objected to the photo being included. William Brown Sr. has told us he's been left baffled.
I just find it like a bit of a kick in the teeth. I mean, they're saying it doesn't meet the civic tone of the high street, but I mean, what is the civic tone of the high street is would be my first question. I just feel that when we lost William, there was a huge public support, like a fantastic public support, like thousands of people all helped rally together to make the best out of a bad situation and allow Will to be buried where he was. And I just think that that image of Will shows an image of public togetherness. There's no one really spoken up and said that, you know, it's they're finding it offensive or they don't like it in particular. And we've gone through all the necessary due process to get the plan of admission to do this. So I don't really understand why the town council would stand up and go, do you know what? No, you're allowed the name, but you're not having an image.
Well, the council go on to say, we feel that for the sake of neighbours and occupants' amenities, the illumination should be on a timer to be turned off between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. A decision on Mr Brown's application will be made by planning officers at Folkestone and Hythe District Council.
Kent Online reports.
A man's been arrested on suspicion of drug driving after a foot chase across two levels of a multi-storey car park in Folkestone. The 43-year-old was detained after a car was spotted driving the wrong way up a one-way street and failed to stop for officers. Two other arrests were made during a night of action to target criminality on the town's roads. A drug addict who walked into Folkestone Police Station with Class A drugs says he did it so he could be sent back to prison. David Fisher wanted to trigger his recall to prison because he felt he wasn't getting the support he needed from the probation service. The 46-year-old, who has an art diploma, told the court there'd been too much pressure on the outside. He's been locked up again until November 2026. A Gravesend shop's had its licence suspended after buying in alcohol that had been smuggled into the country. Hundreds of bottles of Smirnoff vodka and the famous Grouse whiskey were seized from East West Food and Wine on Rutan Road. The owners say they made a terrible decision but have described it as a mistake. Work has started on the first homes that will make up a 700 property development on Sheppey. It'll be known as Vineyard Chase and is based on land off Barton Hall Drive. The initial build will see 127 two, three and four bed houses completed. Next up today, and a verbatim play aimed at addressing men's mental health is going to be performed at two football grounds in Kent. No One Here Is Me is the work of Canterbury playwright Sarah Wynne, who was inspired to act after a family member took his own life. The performance is based on the words of real life people who shared their stories. Sarah says she hopes it shows everyone they're not alone.
My research has really led me to the amount of shame that we carry as human beings, and that really when people are going down these places, of like the amount of shame actually leads them to feeling invalid. And it's like, okay, as a community, how do we work with this? And that's one thing I would definitely say that I've learned is we've really lost our sense of community as people. And what happens is men feel very isolated, and you know, that is where the devastation starts, really, in the fact of, you know, we're all going through these things. One massive thing to me is I talk to people all the time. I'm like, mental health is, everyone has mental health. Like, we don't want to sort of pinpoint, like, you know, I know I'm looking focused at male mental health, but we all have a body. So we all have a physical health. We all have, you know, a brain, a soul, of, you know, an inner voice, whatever it is, however you want to place that. And actually, when that's struggling, you can feel like you're the only person that's going through. And that's the beauty of the play, is you are able to go and sit and listen to other people. We all have this stuff going on in whatever level, or, you know, how you hold that in your being. And I think it's that thing of knowing that someone else goes through this as well, and that they can, there are ways, you know, there are so many things now, you know, we're, you know, mad on mental health in some ways, but we're still, I still think we've got a long journey.
And is that sort of one of the main takeaways that you're hoping that people will take away, I suppose, when they come and see the play? They're not alone, that there are people going through exactly the same or similar things to them.
Yeah, totally. I think the massive message that I like to put out is this play is about hope. We look at, you know, all sorts of aspects of mental health, but the play is about hope. Come and see it, if, you know, it just out of intrigue, in the fact of you're not going to come. Yes, there are sad things in the play, but you will not be left feeling sad. We are here to open these conversations. We are here to help you. Like, for example, every time we have a performance, there is an after-show discussion, and there are always people in the room. For example, Samaritans are coming to support us both on both performances this time around, so that if anything comes up for somebody in that moment, we have help on hand straight away. We've connected with all these charities so that we can direct you to, you know, the help that's out there, and, you know, find other ways as a community to support each other.
Now, you mentioned there about the performances this time around. You've got two coming up, both at football clubs in Kent. Can you give me so just the details, when and where we can see them, and also very deliberate, I'm assuming, at football clubs?
Yeah, totally. So last time around, we did it in two theatres. We were completely sold out. Amazing feedback for anyone that came. Whether, you know, whatever kind of gender you are, people came and they were like, I'm going to be texting my friends now, that just because that I'm not, you know, that I've been concerned about. In terms of why we've gone to football clubs is because they're obviously male-centric places. And I also think that theatre should be for anyone, and I want it to be as accessible as possible. In terms of our location this time, we're on Friday the 28th of March. We're at Margate Football Club, and that starts at 7:30. On Saturday the 29th of March, we're at Maidstone United Football Club. That also starts at 7:30. Both of these sharings are completely free. You just need to go to our website and we have an Eventbrite link and you just book a free ticket. But we would love to see anyone there. And, you know, like I say, it's an evening of hope.
The free performances are on at Margate Football Club today and Maidstone Football Club tomorrow.
Kent Online News.
The sister of a man who was born with a rare genetic condition has praised the work of Demelza in Kent for supporting her family. Jamie has hypomelanosis, which causes seizures that stop him breathing. He's also deafblind. Amy Bell is planning a skydive in May to raise money for the charity that's also provided her with sibling support. Now, Jamie is now 22, but Amy's been telling us how his life expectancy was initially much, much lower.
So originally it was 3 and then 5 and then 7 and then teenage years, and he is 22 now, so doctors were wrong, I guess.
What's it been like for you? I imagine as a having a sibling with a life-threatening condition growing up, that must have been quite difficult.
Yeah, it's really hard, especially when I was younger. I didn't really understand it. I remember watching Children in Need with my mum and seeing other children like Jamie, and I said to my mum, I said, is my brother gonna die? And she kind of looked at me and was like, potentially yes, but we never know. So it's really hard, especially making friends and things like that. You know, people don't understand this life, people don't understand what you go through, and but we live every day as it comes and try and make as many memories as possible.
Now, what about Demelza? Where does Demelza fit in sort of the support that they've given to you and the family?
Demelza offers a lot of support. So sibling support, whole family support. They support with transition. So after 16, when you go from DLA to PIP, they offer support with that and doing all the paperwork. They do days out for families, well-being days for parents and carers. So it's really a lifeline sort of thing. It's just nice to have someone to talk to who understands what you're going through. So they really have helped my family. I think that without Demelza, we would be in a completely different situation.
They've been providing exceptional care for you, and a big part of that was introducing you to other families and other people going through similar circumstances, I suppose, to you. What's that been like? I imagine it's a huge lifeline for you.
Oh yeah, honestly, having friends and other families in Demelza, it's a family. We call it our Demelza family, because if we need anything, they're the first people to sort of message and ask if they can do anything, and same with us to them. It's just so lovely having people who get it and know that we live completely different lives to everybody else, that we can't do certain things, and, you know, it's always medication and hospital trips. And I think it really, yeah, it's just a family, and it really helps so much. And especially when you're feeling down, just having someone to talk to, it's amazing.
And so you're at that point now where you'd like to start giving back to Demelza and sort of repay them for everything that they've done to you. Can you talk me about the skydive? Because I'll be honest, when I think about doing a skydive, I've got no chance. I wouldn't go anywhere near it. So for me, the idea that you would skydive for Demelza is incredible. Can you talk me through how you got there?
So 2023, actually, I did a firewalk for Demelza. I think I raised 400 and something. So then we did a little show and everyone came. It was amazing. I just think that it's on my bucket list of things to do anyway, and doing it for charity and a charity so close to my heart, I think it's perfect. You know, the opportunity came and I just thought I'd take it. But to me, jumping out of a plane, it's terrifying. But is a little price to pay for someone and a charity that's helped so much throughout my life and my brother's life.
And we do wish Amy all the very best with her skydive in May. Sewage spilled into England's waterways for more than 3.6 million hours last year, according to new figures. That's slightly up on the previous 12 months. Southern Water had more than 29,000 spills, while for Thames it was just over 23,000. The Tunbridge Wells MP is calling on the government to replace the water regulator. Mike Martin says Ofwat's position is untenable and thinks a new body should have more powers to hold water companies to account. The Kent Wildlife Trust have revealed plans to enhance biodiversity at a meadow near Westmorling with sheep. It's a joint venture with Leybourne Grange Community Interest Company to restore the 4-hectare site. They're looking for local volunteers to keep an eye on the livestock. And finally, a Kent filmmaker is celebrating as his most recent release gathers viewing figures on Amazon Prime. A Brother's Bond is the work of Folkestone's Luke Mayers and was released on March the 2nd and has since been watched more than 500 times. It's a gangster film that was shot in Medway, Folkestone, Deal and Northfleet.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and it's a trip to fellow strugglers Harrogate Town for Gillingham and their new manager this weekend. Gareth Ainsworth has taken over at Priestfield with the side 19th in the table. Well, he's been speaking ahead of his first match and has admitted there'll be some tough decisions at the end of the season.
We have, I'll say it now, we have too many players here. I like working with small squads. For me, for other managers, maybe enough players. For me, I think we will slim the squad down slightly because that's the way I work, you know, and I believe that, you know, some of the problems start with so many people out of the squad, never mind the team. So I'm going to go quality over quantity. We've worked like that. We sort of stumbled on it at Wickham and we thought, you know what, this works well because there's a decent academy here as well, and I'd rather have an academy kid dying to get on the bench than seven professionals sat in the stand nowhere near the bench, you know. And that's where I the balance is. So it's something we work towards, you know. We do sail close to the wind at times, but we believe it's really healthy for the club. And when Rich talks about off the pitch, that's the culture that they all buy into, and everyone's got each other's back, everyone works for each other. Yeah, and that seeps out into the community and the fans, and we've all got each other's back. If we all do that on a Saturday, then the byproduct is a good result, and that's what we intend to get.
Tomorrow's opponents are two places and 2 points below Gillingham in League Two. We can also hear now from one of the Gills American owners. Shannon Gallinson has been speaking following the appointment of Gareth Ainsworth, which is actually the third manager this season.
This new chapter has been a huge gift for me. When we got involved, I actually wasn't completely sure what my level of involvement would be, nor what my involvement would be. I brought to it experience in organizational structure, company culture, marketing, which I'd love to actually just do marketing, but it turns out there's not enough time for me to just do that. But and so I've been able to bring those various skills. And so it has been, I can't find the right words. I love it. That's the truth of it. Yeah, there have been some expensive mistakes. They haven't been deal breakers for us. Brad and I remain committed to doing this. Listen, we went into this eyes pretty wide open. We didn't think that we'd be, you know, living the high life and taking big dividends out of our club. So we were really interested in this project that was Gillingham, and wanted to roll our sleeves up, get our hands dirty, and be involved. Yeah, it's cost us a little bit of money, but we're still here. We're going nowhere. And so that's the long and the short of it. Yes, it would have been nice for it to be a little bit less expensive, but so be it.
Staying with football, and Whitstable are just two games away from a trip to Wembley. The first leg of their FA Vars semi-final against Hartbury University is at home on Saturday. Whitstable go into the game on a run of 16 matches unbeaten. Kick-off tomorrow is at 3. Cricket, and Andrew Flintoff's been working with the Kent Bowlers ahead of the new season. He was at the Spitfire Ground in Canterbury as part of his England Lions coaching role. Kent's season gets underway next week. And in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos are in Southern playoffs this weekend. They're home and away to Solent Devils. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials. Plus, whilst you head to Kent Online, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. And whilst you're on the site, don't forget to check out the latest review from our secret drinker. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back with the podcast on Monday.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.